Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3, the very last book of the Old Testament. Now, next week, next Wednesday night, we'll get back into our study on Elisha and what a powerful series that has been and looking at the life of Elisha and applying biblical principles. But the prophet Malachi presents a very powerful message to us concerning God's will for his church. And this is a prophetic message that we look at in chapter 3. And Malachi was a prophet to the children of God after their captivity. And he addresses the sins of Israel. There's no doubt there as we study this. But prophetically, he was addressing the New Testament church as well, and concerning the sins of robbing from God the tithes and the offerings that is mentioned here. We know that because chapter 3 in verse 1, he says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." So verse 1, it's prophecy concerning John the Baptist, the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ, and then also for the one that is a messenger of the new covenant, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. They did away with the old and brought in the new. And so we know in chapter 3, it is talking to and prophetically revealing some truths to us concerning the New Testament church. And so I want to have you stand. We're going to be reading verse 7 down to verse 12. A very familiar verse, passage of Scripture to those who've been in a good independent fundamental Baptist church for any time, and because we preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, exactly what it says, from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, and this is what the Bible reveals to us as God's message, prophetic message to the New Testament church concerning this idea of tithes and offerings. He says, "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and ye have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me, but ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again, it is a blessing to be here this evening, and I just thank you for the opportunity to be in church. And I pray now, God, as we look into this passage of Scripture from this Old Testament book of prophecy, I just pray that you'd give us the insight into it, that we would learn these biblical principles that you have for us, and not only for the church and our tithes, but for us as the children of God in understanding how important it is for us to have a biblical understanding of finances. And I pray that you would just meet with us again, bless in the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, he speaks of, in verse 8, the tithes and offerings. There was to be tithes and offerings given in the Old Testament, and there is to be tithes and offerings given in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they would bring the tithes. It would have been a little bit different because they would bring them into the tabernacle and to the holding place of God in the Old Testament. And he says here in verse 10, he says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house." And so there's two thoughts there. There's two things that he says about where to bring the tithe and offerings in to help us to understand it is to bring it into the New Testament church during this New Testament church age, because he calls it a storehouse. And then he clarifies what the storehouse is when he says, "It's my house." Okay? So God's house in the Old Testament was a tabernacle, And that would have been where they would bring their things into the priests and into the treasuries of God in the tabernacle. In the New Testament, we know that the church is the house of God today. Okay, and so, as a matter of fact, look to 1 Timothy chapter 3. You have to get that established to be able to understand how this is prophecy for us today in the New Testament church age. In the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 3, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, again, a very familiar passage of Scripture, because we need to understand this about understanding the leadership of the New Testament church. The two positions that he gives to us in chapter 3 reveals the qualifications for. If you don't meet those qualifications, you cannot serve God in those positions. And that's a pastor and then also of a deacon. And then after he gives that, then he says in verse 15 and 16, he says this, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So there's no doubt there. He says it's the church of God. It is the house of God. It's his house. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received at the glory. So he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, as he came, he established the New Testament church. And the New Testament church, where Christ is the head and the people become the body of Christ, it is the house of God. As we assemble ourselves together and we establish that New Testament church, then it becomes the house of God, which would represent the storehouse. The storehouse in the New Testament is the church. The church is made up of born-again believers. And it is made up of those by whom God has saved and planted in that church, that local New Testament church, for the purpose of establishing that local New Testament house of God. Now, these are supposed to be established all around the world. The Word of God is to be taken to all nations, to all people. And once a person gets saved, then they have to, in order to follow the commandments of the Bible and to the will of God, to be baptized, identify with Jesus Christ. If there is no local New Testament church, then there is no authority there for them to be baptized. And so missionaries are sent out of the New Testament church, and as they sent out, they go with the authority of their home church, and they baptize until they're able to establish their church, and then their church becomes an authority in that area to where they can then baptize through the authority of that church that has been established by missionaries or by someone that coming out of another established church to be able to establish that one. Now, that's the perpetuity of the church. That's something that the Bible teaches, that churches start churches, amen? And the church has got the hand of God, the power of God upon it, and it has the leadership that God's established. But it's God who grows the church. God is the one who grows the church. So if you go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, these are good things to understand concerning tithing and giving of offerings. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, "For by one Spirit are you baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many." Verse 18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." So these are local New Testament bodies of Christ, which are the churches of God, where Christ is the head of the church, and God has called, convicted, and called through the various means of evangelism, through various means of soul winning, possibly even relocating those into certain areas. If you're a born-again believer and God is moving you or relocating you somewhere, one of the first things you need to look for is the church. If your job is taking you away, if it's the will of God, then God is also going to relocate you, and he's put that conviction in your heart and that desire in your heart to find that church that he wants you to be a part of in whatever area you go into, whatever state, whatever city, whatever town. and you're looking to God concerning what's more important than your job in that area is your church in that area, okay? If God does not give you peace about leaving a church and being able to be relocated into another church around the country, then I would not allow the job situation to lead you away from God's church. Amen? But when God's working together, you'll find that He does relocate. And as He relocates things, people into the city of Indianapolis, or if He takes people out of the city of Indianapolis, the most important thing for that Christian person is to look to is, God, where would you have me to be part of the local New Testament church? And the Bible says there, but now hath God set the members, every one. No one's exempt from that. From the preacher to the staff to the deacons to the trustees to the Sunday school teachers to the whoever it might be, God has equipped you to serve Him in and through the local church. Amen. And so He says He has put you in that body. You have to know one of the first things that I'll ask somebody, they come to join this church, before I will present them to the congregation, I will ask them, and I will have told them this ahead of time, but I will ask them this question: have you prayed, and do you know for sure this is the church that God wants to plant you in? And they have to answer to the affirmative, and once they do, then I will pray with them, and then I'll present them to the church. If you don't know this is where God has planted you, then you're apt to come and go and just continue to church hop from one church to another church to another church, and that is not the will of God for His church. Amen. It is very important that we understand that we have the family of God that God has given to us. We have the church that God has given to us. We have the pastor that God has put over us to feed us the Word of God. We have the place in whatever church it is to use the talents and abilities that God's given to me to be able to produce fruit that is going to affect your eternal glory. Amen. And the reward that you're going to have in heaven. So church membership is very, very important, and it's not up to you, it's not up to another church member to woo you into being a church member of theirs. It is up to you and God as far as where God has planted you. That's important to understand that. Because if you will, go on down in the very same chapter, chapter 12, I want you to see verse 18, and verse 27 rather, when it says this: now ye are all the body of Christ and members in particular. And He gives us body parts in there, letting us know that you can contribute. If God planted you in that church, He has you there to contribute to that church. And when you start contributing and being all that God wants you to be, can I tell you, that's where the joy of the Lord comes in. That's when you're going to be more excited about coming to church. You're going to be more excited about using the talents and the abilities that God's given to you. You're going to be more excited about what the church is accomplishing, because you have a part in everything this church accomplishes, no matter what you're doing as a member. If you're a part of this church, you have part in everything that we accomplish. We have part in every missionary that's on the mission field around the world, every soul's being saved, every Christian that's repenting, every church is being established. As we have a part in that, in this church, in our ministries, circle the globe, amen? They really do. And if you're a member of this church, you have a part of all of that. And that's something to get excited about. Praise the Lord for that. That's church membership, and how important it is that we know that we are and we have been planted by God where He wants us to be. I tell people the only reason to leave a church and the only reason to join a church is the leading of God. God is the only one that can tell you that it's time to leave, and God is the only one that can tell you it's time, it's a place for you to establish, to join. Membership is about God and His children. God plants every one of them in that body as it hath pleased Him. God blesses the members of each church so that they can give to keep the storehouse strong. We are not government funded here at this church. We are not funded by cake bakes We're not funded by bingo. We're not funded by visitors coming in. Now, if they want to give, we allow them to give. Amen. But that's not what we are funded by. We are funded by God's people that God has blessed, that have a desire to do the will of God, that understand that all they have belongs to God because we belong to God. We were bought with a price. And He blesses us so that we might, through faith and being a blessing as far as doing the will of God, give of tithes and offerings. And through those tithes and offerings, it's God's plan, according to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, to keep the storehouse, which is God's house, which is the church, strong. Amen. That's what he's talking about. If you go back, I'm going to just read that to you again, just so you can see that. He says, "Will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." If you're saved and you're not tithing and giving as God would have you to, how can you expect God to bless you? He is not going to bless somebody that's stealing from Him. You're not stealing from me. You're not stealing from the members. You're stealing from God. This is God's church. This is God's design. It's His storehouse. It's what He's established. And if He planted you here, then He's going to bless you so that you can be a part of keeping the storehouse strong. Every time you give of your tithes and offerings, you realize and rejoice because you know God has blessed me and God has enabled me, and because of me, then God is blessing me, and because of what I'm able to do, it's helping the storehouse to remain strong. That's why he says in verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house." That was there. That was to keep the storehouse strong, to be able to do whatever it needed to do in the area. "Meet in mine house and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. I will not open you the windows of heaven." When you're doing that, he says, prove it. I'll show you that I'm blessing you so that you can do the will that I've called you to do. And part of that is keeping the storehouse strong. And he says, when you do that, I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Satan is the devourer. He would love to devour your finances. He'd love to devour your resources. But if you're giving to God and if you're aware of how God would have you to use your resources and your finances, then God in return will keep Satan from devouring that. Yes. Amen. That's what he says. And so he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. He says, I'll control the timing of everything even. Amen. I know farmers that have to worry if the weather doesn't cooperate and it doesn't get warm enough too soon, there's going to be a problem. If it gets too cold too soon, there's going to be a problem with frost. It's going to kill. He says, you don't have to worry about that. I'll control the timing of everything. Amen. All you have to do is just do what I've commanded you to do. Do what I've planned you there to do. Bring in the tithes and the offerings. The tithe was established by Jacob or Israel as 10%. Genesis chapter 28, verse 22, we'll not go there, but I will take you over to the book of Proverbs in chapter 3. Proverbs in chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. If we understand it is, I'm going to take the time to this evening to go through and study it all, but the idea of 10%, I think most believers understand that, and it was what God had done for Israel, Jacob, who later became Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we find here that the 10%, but then in chapter 3 of Proverbs, in verse 9 and 10, it says this, "Honor the Lord with thy substance." That's everything that God has blessed you with, not only financially, but time and talents. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." As you have been increased If God has brought, as God brings into your finances, then you are to tithe according to how God has brought in your finances. Whatever He has increased as through the years or whatever it might be, as God has blessed you, you give as God has commanded us to do, as to give that 10%. Honor the Lord with the substance of thy and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It's honoring God. More than anything else, you realize when you give of tithes and offerings as God would have you to give, you are honoring God. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 and 9, it deals more with the offering. The offering is not tithe. The offering is above the tithe. Tithes and offerings. There's a tithe that's 10%. The offering is what we look to in this New Testament church age is being mission support. Giving to missions as God would have us to give to missions. The missions is not the storehouse. What's the storehouse? The church, a local New Testament church. If the local New Testament church has to close its doors, where are the mission supports going to come from? No, you have to do it first and first step. First things first. The local New Testament church has to be strong. If the local New Testament church is strong, it's going to produce missionaries. It's going to produce preachers. It's going to produce full-time servants of God. Amen. If you shut the doors to the local New Testament church, you're not going to have full-time Christian servants. You're not going to have missionaries. You're not going to carry out the work that God has called us to do. So the storehouse has to be looked at as first. And then as the storehouse is strong and as God has prospered us, then we give accordingly to missions or offerings to missions so that we can do everything that God would have us to do. In 2 Corinthians, as Paul explains this to the churches, he is teaching them and explaining to them not tithes. He is teaching them and explaining to them about missions. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 8, again, very familiar to us. But verse 12, it says this. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. He's not talking about tithe. He's talking about missions, a different way of understanding how much to give. There's no tithe is 10%, period. Missions is what you have after that. You might not be able to give as much as that. It might not be even percentage-wise as much as somebody, but it's how God's prospered you. You first a willing mind to not only tithe, but to give offerings. Chapter 9 and verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You're not determining how much you give as far as tithe. You're determining how much you give as far as to missions, offerings, tithes and offerings. That's what the Bible tells us. As we look to give of our finances, God blesses us so that we might be able to keep the storehouse strong, and we do that through tithes and offerings. Of course, offerings is above the tithe, and as we've studied that and we understand in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, we bring it in on the first day of the week. Honor the Lord's Day. Not only do we assemble ourselves together to worship and a resurrected Savior, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, amen. We're focused on Christ, but we're also bringing in the offerings, bringing in the tithe to the storehouse so the storehouse can be strong. God says, do it and prove me. Do it God's way. The reason to keep the storehouse strong is because we have much to do. In Matthew chapter 28, we find the Great Commission, verse 19 and 20 says, go. The Great Commission is to go. As I said before, if the church is not strong, if the storehouse is not strong, then where are missions going to come from? Where are missionaries and missions monies? The church has to be strong. And through the church, we reach the world. Amen. For missions. It's sad. A lot of missionaries, even our own missionaries, come home to have to get new support because churches have stopped supporting them. And the reason they've stopped supporting them is because the church has died. And they don't have the offerings like they had. They don't have the funding as they had. And if they don't have the offering, the churches are not strong. The missionaries do not have the support. And they can't do the work. Keep the storehouse strong. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. What happens when the church closes its door? The light in that community just went out. Amen. People don't see the Lighthouse Baptist Church buses coming by anymore. People don't get annoyed by a knock on the door. Say, hi, we're from Lighthouse Baptist Church. If you died today, do you know? Yeah, that dies. The testimony of our membership all around this city, because there is no lighthouse, it dies. The light. Amen. The light is through individuals, but it's strengthened through the church. Amen. And through the church, you go out and you represent not only Jesus Christ as a Savior, but you represent where He has planted you, and you represent the Lighthouse Baptist Church. You're the light of the world. Got to keep the storehouse strong. Got to keep the storehouse strong. Jude 3 says, contending for the faith. Church, we contend for the faith. If it's not for a true biblical, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, what happens to our faith? What happens to what people believe? If they're not being taught the truth, they're more apt to believe a lie. If the message of the Bible is not proclaimed and we don't influence as many people as we can, people will not believe the truth. They'll believe lies. They'll believe that it really doesn't matter how moral you are. Morality will change with every age. Doesn't matter if you get married or not. Doesn't matter if you live together or not. On and on. There's so many things there. Listen to me. We have to keep the storehouse strong. Yeah. And we have to make sure that we are supporting the true church. We are supporting the church that has a true doctrine, that's accomplishing what God has established the church to accomplish, the Great Commission, to be the light of the world, to preach the doctrines of the Bible, to earnestly contend for the faith. You have to know that you're in a church like that. God planted you there. And you have to have a willing heart to be everything that God wants you to be in that church. And that is included in giving of tithes and offerings. We have this annual budget, two basic biblical principles of finances. The first, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. God's DNA declares that He does everything decently and in order. From the very creation, as we look back, it was not chaos. It was done decently and in order, and He did it in a way to help humanity to understand there's a time to work and there's a time to rest. You have to look ahead. When you're creating this, you have to realize what it's created for. He didn't create man without man having a place to, amen, to put his feet. No, he had to create the environment that man was going to live in, first of all. And so it was done decently and in order. Everything about the Old Testament was done decently and in order. And the order was to prepare humanity for the ultimate coming of the Christ. And he did everything decently in order through the life of Christ and establishing the New Testament church to take us through the end of the world. This church age is over, amen. After the tribulation, after the millennial reign, it's all over. This earth is gone. And there's a new heaven and a new atmosphere and a new earth. Wow. But it was done and continues to be done decently and in order. So that means our finances has to be done decently and in order. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, being faithful stewards, managing God's monies, managing the resources that God has given to us. This applies not only to the church. God has blessed this church, he has. But I think in part because we're doing what God's called us to do, but we have always done things decently and in order. Amen. We've always wanted to make sure that we were not spending more than what we had coming in. We didn't get ourselves in financial troubles. So many churches, Satan destroys them because of financial obligations that they cannot meet. So many homes are destroyed because of finances. Too much pressure on a marriage. It's very important that we do things decently in order with our finances. It's very important that we honor God so that we can have God's blessings upon our finances. Can I tell you, that holds true for your life individually? Are you doing things decently and in order with your resources, especially with what God has given you and has supplied for you, your first increase, your tithes and your offerings? If you're not, you can't expect God's blessings. It has to be done God's way. Faithful stewards. Faithful stewards. As God has blessed this church, it is biblical principles that God is blessing. And I believe it's biblical principles that God wants every church member to be aware of, to have God's blessings on your finances as well. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to go right into our business meeting here in just a minute. We're going to be passing out a budget sheet. But as I've preached this tonight, it's always good to go over this in our own hearts and our minds. Am I honoring God? Am I doing things decently and in order? And am I being the best steward concerning my resources? If not, right now, confess it before God and ask God to help you to get that turned around. Help God to help you get your things in order that God might bless you and open the windows of heaven. Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truths of your word, especially for these biblical principles of finances and how important it is for us to do it your way and honor you by tithes and offerings. And I pray, God, that you would just continue to bless our members and, Lord, that they would give as you would have them to give, so that your storehouse would be as strong as you want it to be. Continue to bless. Bless now as we go into this business meeting and approve this budget. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.